Hello and welcome to Indie Business Radio for Monday, September 21st, 2009. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. Today's show is sponsored by Monavay Mineral Makeup. Not only do they sell mineral makeup products, but they also teach you how to lead your own successful mineral makeup business. This Sunday, September 27th, they're hosting a Making Cosmetics Mineral Makeup Seminar to talk with you about making cosmetics, protecting your trademark, your copyright, and doing everything else you need to be successful in the mineral makeup.
They're calling.
You need to make your business successful at Monavay.com. That's Monavay.com. Just click on Making Cosmetics to get all the information and to register. Well, you know, I've got some interesting statistics for you today. Think about social media. We're using social media right now. It's fantastic. It's fun. We have a live radio show on the Internet. We have a chat room with people getting ready to chat it up about social media and how to use it for their business. But think about some of these statistics provided by our guest today. If Facebook were a country, it would be the fourth largest. One out of every eight couples who got married in the U.S. last year met via social media. Facebook added a million users in less than 9 months. A billion iPhone applications were downloaded in about the same period of time. And if you were paid $1 for each time an article was posted on Wikipedia, you would earn $156.23 an hour. On this show, you know, we often talk about social media and how small and independent business owners can use it to their advantage, but on this show, we're going to talk about the bigger picture. What does it mean from a global perspective for all of us, our families, our businesses, and our worldwide neighbors? And to help us paint this picture and understand it more fully, I am pleased to welcome today's guest. His name is Eric Qualman. He's the author of Socialnomics, How Social Media Transforms the Way We Live and Do Business. Eric is the president of online marketing for EF Education, the world's largest private educator. His career includes helping grow the online marketing programs of companies like Cadillac, AT&T, Yahoo, Earthlink, and Travelzoo. Eric, welcome to Indie Business Radio.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here.
Eric, tell us a little bit about your background and how you got involved in social media. I know your business background has a lot of depth that even precedes this. Tell us a little bit about how you maneuvered and moved up into social media spotlight.
Yeah, it actually dates all the way back to 1994. I've got a fairly funny story, at least I think. I was working on the agency side at the time, working with Pontiac and Cadillac. And at the time, you had to print out what was called conference reports, what was said in the meeting between the client and the agency. Since I was fairly junior, I had to pass out these pieces of paper, highlight everybody's name, and pass out these 50 pieces of paper, some by putting on the chair, others by mailing an interoffice mail to the client. But one day I just said, this doesn't make any sense. With this new technology called email, I'm just going to append this as an attachment and send it out. So I send it out, and then I've never spoken to the CEO of our company. He sees this go out, and he goes, what is this? And at the time, it's your first initial last name, so my email address was Equalman. He goes, what is this Equalman doing? Why isn't he sending these out in print format? So he comes down and kind of is bearing over me, and I said, well, explain yourself, son. And so I'm trying to explain this. Well, it's cheaper. It saves me time, which seemed to be the least of his worries, but saves me time. And also, the most important thing is we can tell that it was delivered to the client. So then from there, a couple months later, that's when the web really exploded, and they said, we need to get websites up for Cadillac and Pontiac. How do we do this? And the CEO's like, what about that Equalman guy? Why don't you go talk to him? He seems to have a handle on it. But from there, I really, really fell in love with it, and as my career progressed, I worked at e-commerce functionality for AT&T, and then obviously worked at Yahoo for several years, and just loved all the pieces of it. It's progressed from portals to search. So for a long time, I was really engaged in the search industry, both SEO and SEM. And then several years ago, once social media started coming out, I go, wow, this is the biggest thing that I've ever seen in my career, and I think it's going to be the biggest shift in communication that we've seen in the last 100 years. And so really got engaged with it on that front, and then obviously wrote the book based on a lot of the columns that I was writing. It took me a, those pulling teeth actually to change, to have Search Engine Watch allow me to write a social media column several years ago, but now obviously everyone's writing social media columns. But the space has changed quickly, and I love everything that's going on in the social media space.
So, Eric, I mean, this is obviously a worldwide phenomenon, and it continues to amaze me how every morning it seems like we wake up and there's something new and exciting. For individual people, Eric, who are, you know, raising families and dealing with, you know, everyday issues in the economy and everything like that, the statistics that I shared from the video that you did at YouTube really sort of highlights how far-reaching social media is. I mean, it's social media. It's a simple phrase. It's, you know, only a couple of characters long. But it really is actually forcing us to live our lives in a different way, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, a lot of people write about how it's changing our online behavior, but what I read about in the book and what I'm a huge proponent of is it's actually changed our offline behavior a ton. You have to live your life as if your mother's watching you at all times because of the transparency. But also the good side of that is that people are updating their status, they're tweeting what they're currently doing, and when you do that, it gives you a real-time assessment of your life. So that if you're typing in a status update on Facebook saying, I'm watching Saved by the Bell reruns, that's not quite as cool as your friend that just posted that they're whitewater rafting. So I think that 10 years from now, you're not going to look back and say, what did I do with my life? Because it gives you that real-time assessment by you inputting that activity. So it is adjusting people's offline behavior. Obviously, there's been a lot of articles written about people getting fired, also not getting hired because of what they've been doing in social media. So it does adjust your offline behavior, and obviously with all the statistics in the video, you can see that it's adjusted online behavior, that more and more people are using these tools that are out there.
So, Eric, you know what that makes me think about? You just said social media provides you and the world, really, with a real-time assessment of your life. It seems to me that outside of business and outside of what we normally talk about on this show, social media can be used as a self-improvement tool.
Yeah, by all means, by all means, and that varies in degrees. It could be, what you mentioned is like a mom and a dad that have a family. Historically, if you're fortunate to have dinner together, it could be they come home from high school and it's like, what'd you do today? Nothing. Anything exciting happen? No. But with social media tools, a lot of them are engaged now. The fast-growing segment on Facebook's women 55 years older. They're able to stay more in touch, not intrusively, with their sons and daughters, and so that they can see, oh, okay, this is what happened in their day today. And it allows them to stay connected at a whole different level.
And, you know, one of the things that it seems to me that it also does is it provides us with daily and hourly, really, minute by minute sometimes, doses of inspiration and encouragement for us to improve and do better in all aspects of our lives.
By all means. I mean, it's either coming from inward out to where you're going, I need to do something cool today because everyone's going to know about it, or it's coming externally that you can see inspirational stuff that's going on. Say your friend's just helping with Habitat for Humanity, and you had no idea that was going on this weekend. All of a sudden, you're ready to pick up a hammer and go help that person, and it's probably a friend that maybe you haven't connected to in several months, if not years, and all of a sudden you're doing this great thing for society. It was truly enabled by the transparency of social media that has just showed what everyone's doing in a real-time basis.
So, Eric, is it an overstatement to say that at some point anyone who chooses not to somehow engage, maybe not in every single social media outlet, but to somehow engage in, you know, one or two of them, that those persons will end up not just not engaging in social media but kind of missing out on life?
I think you could make that argument that they would miss out to some extent. The other side of the coin, which I say is sometimes it's not for everybody, but I'd also argue that it's almost impossible not to be engaged with one of these pieces of technology to your point, is to not miss out on some of life. But it'll be different degrees of how people use it. Just as not everyone got rid of their landline telephone and switched completely to wireless in the house, and just like there's still people that are on dial-up and aren't using high-speed internet connections. Mm-hmm. There's obviously different needs for different people, but to a very high degree, I would say if you're not on these tools, that yes, it could be that you're missing out on some components of life.
Well, Well, and you know, it's so interesting. I saw the movie Julie and Julia over the weekend. And, of course, you know, in case people don't know, it's sort of the story of how a woman named Julie used a blog to chronicle the making of all of the recipes in one of Julia Child's cookbooks, and how ultimately that led to her blog being picked up in a lot of different media outlets, including the New York Times, but also led to a book and then a movie. So, I mean, you know, it just seems like it's not far-fetched to say. Of course, no one planned that, right? The young writer didn't plan that she would be, you know, the subject of a movie all these years later. But what do you think happens? I mean, what do the people who use social media successfully to achieve something, what do they do that helps them to stand out?
I think there's two ways to look at this. If we're looking at it from an individual level, the best way to stand out is that there's so much information out there, is that if you want to stand out, you got to have a specific niche that you're going after. So whether that is Julia Child's cookbook, that's pretty specific. So that's good. She's able to kind of own that and be passionate about it. But whatever your thing and passion is, then try to own that and own that space. If you're trying to be, I think it's Bill Cosby has a famous quote that, I don't know what the secret to success in life is, but I know the quickest road to failure is try to please everybody.
Right.
So think about that when you're doing your social media activity from an individual standpoint. From a business standpoint, same thing applies. The other thing about the business standpoint is, instead of going inward out, meaning that you have these grandiose meetings and you're deciding what to do in the space, and you can't do that. You got to think outward in. What is your customer base talking about? What's their need? And trying to address that need. And so marketers become less of advertisers creating great messaging and pushing and shouting that at their potential base, and they become more party planners and content aggregators from a standpoint, I need to provide this piece that's going to solve this person's solution. And so it has to be real quick internally to where you get stuff out, fail, get it out again, fail better, and then the third piece is to succeed from there. Because whatever you launch in social media, you have to go with the mindset that you're probably not going to get it right from the beginning. So it's important to keep it as light as possible, then take the feedback from your customer base and move forward.
I like that. Fail better than succeed. That's like the story of every small business owner's life. Eric, you talked a little bit earlier about search engine optimization. And I want to get your take on the interaction between search engine optimization and social media. I know search SEO is such a specialized area. I wonder how much of it is being complemented by social media. Is any of it being replaced by someone's effective use of social media? Can you comment on that?
Yeah, definitely. They dovetail very strongly, and a good example is, which a lot of people will understand quickly, even if you're not in the SEO space, is when you do a search on Google for something that's factual in nature, the number one result is generally going to be a Wikipedia page. And so you already see that people are adjusting the behavior to where they actually do a lot of their primary searches within Wikipedia if it's for a historical event or a person. And so a lot of people forget that Wikipedia is a huge social media tool. So that's one piece of that people can readily grasp. Other pieces that are very important is that the search engines do crawl Twitter, Facebook. So if you do send a tweet, it'll crawl that, so you can see that in the search engine results. Your name could come up if it happens to be in a tweet. Also on the Facebook side of things is that it's important that it doesn't crawl deeply into Facebook, but at some of the higher level pages, you'll see if you have a Facebook fan page, and a fan page is where companies go out there and they basically put kind of a mini website on Facebook for their products. It does crawl that, so it's very important for companies to where that might be generally in the top 10 rankings for the brand term, their Facebook fan page if they do have one. And so the same concepts applies within a Facebook, let's say, that you've got to optimize those keywords for potential words that people are going to search to find your product or company. And then what I talk about in the book is that forward-looking 2-3 years down the road, is that just like people search now directly into Wikipedia, and also the number two search engine in the world is YouTube, is
right,
that people will start directly doing searches more and more within Facebook, especially, or whatever tool is the winner, or the winners 2 or 3 years from now.
Right.
Right. They'll do those searches directly in there. So it is important for you to take the same mindset and the same skills and tactics when you're developing those pages.
Excellent. I think that's such great advice, and thank you for sharing that, because I think a lot of small business owners, you know, a lot of times, Eric, we can't afford to hire an SEO person. So it's comforting to know that there are some things that we can do on our own until we get to the point where we can hire a professional to do it for us to make sure that we don't get lost in the sauce. These are some great tips provided today by my guest, Eric Qualman, the author of Socialnomics, How Social Media Transforms the Way We Live and Do Business. This is Indie Business Radio. Don't touch that mouse. We'll be right back.
Why is everyone listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com? Because it's the future of talk radio. Every day, more and more people are finding internet radio as not just an alternative media, but as a replacement to traditional AM and FM broadcast stations. Internet radio offers a wider variety of programs, convenient on-demand listening that meets your schedule, and fewer commercial interruptions. And GlobalTalkRadio.com is already leading the way by matching this content with a highly targeted internet audience. GlobalTalkRadio.com offers its listeners one of the widest programming varieties on the internet, from business and finance to self-improvement, paranormal, health, literature, romance, politics, and more. There are also opportunities for prospective hosts who would like to host their own weekly or one-time talk shows. Want to learn more? Check us out at www.globaltalkradio.com and see the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're talking today with Eric Qualman, author of Socialnomics, How Social Media Transforms the Way We Live and Do Business. Eric, we have a question from the chat room. Somebody wants you to clarify, Yatende does, if you could clarify a little bit what you mean by putting keywords in your Facebook fan page.
So a good first start is if you're going to start your fan page in your company, let's say that you're John Deere, in that title itself, which is tough to change once you launch that fan page, is do you want to just name it John Deere or do you want to name it John Deere Lawnmowers? Because what are people going to search for to find your product? If you're a company like John Deere, you might be fine with just your brand name because everyone is aware of it. But if you're a smaller business, you might want to get more aggressive and actually put in those keyword-rich terms in that opening title of that fan page. So it could be lawnmowers and then your brand name or whatever you're selling, whether it's wedding paraphernalia and then your brand name, and then throughout that page try to insert keywords. If you're selling wedding stuff, that you're inserting keywords, whether it's garter, DJ, stuff that they might need to look to you to order from, because that's what the search engine is looking for. They're looking for those keywords that someone's going to type into a Google, a Bing, a Yahoo, and then also forward looking. If people start to search within social media, which they already are, as I mentioned, Wikipedia and YouTube, then you want to make sure that you're taking advantage of that, that you're a step ahead several years down the road.
So, Eric, you mean in your status updates on your wall at your fan page using those keywords?
On the status updates, that's a good question. Since those are kind of time sensitive, I guess they do stay there for a certain amount of time. You have to. It's always better to have something that's permanent. So definitely, it doesn't hurt to put those in your status updates, but it's more important to have them on the external stuff that's around those status updates, that middle piece, that are non-quote-unquote dynamic, that are always going to be there. Let's say it's information about my company. And so
like
that you have the
tabs that you can set up, like you can have an information tab and a welcome
exactly.
tab and those things.
Yep, and then you have like an information piece that's usually a paragraph long about your company, is make sure that you put those keyword important words that are for your vertical and your sector, whatever your customer base is going to be searching for, make sure that you have those in there because it gives you a high degree of chance for success with the search engines when they're crawling those sites.
Very, very good points. And, you know, it's funny because these are things that not everyone instinctively thinks of, Eric. I mean, the person who asked this question has probably been on Facebook for a while and obviously has a fan page or wouldn't have asked the question. And it's just interesting to me that this is this situation is so dynamic, and a lot of the information is being developed as we also have to use it, and that's new for business owners.
Yeah, no, it is. It's very new, and the fun part is that a lot of this stuff, if you go back, there's like new technology, but also a lot of the fundamental building blocks are still in place, but you're just not leveraging it onto new technology. So if you've been doing SEO for a while with your company, which you know that, okay, I need to make sure that the keywords are everywhere on this page, title tag, I need to make sure that the technology, the flash technology, I'm not going to get too into the weeds, but that you don't have those kind of components on there. Well, the same is going to apply to these social media pieces. The same building blocks and principles of SEO apply within these social media tools. And a lot of them miss that point because they're just so excited with the new technology. They don't think that, oh, this has ramifications for SEO.
Eric, one of the things I notice when I talk with new, brand new small business owners, or just really people who are thinking about becoming small and independent business owners, is, you know, I mention social media and I try to be as specific as I can about what I mean. And what happens is almost immediately this sort of glaze comes over their faces and it all seems so much to embrace. Eric, what are your tips to help people who are just getting started to begin to embrace the concepts that you've been working on for years? Because, and I think this is a really important question too, Eric, because so many people must do that.
No, exactly. I think the first thing that usually helps to relieve some of the stress is I'll say, look, I've been in this for a couple of years and I'm working on this 24 hours a day, and I can't keep abreast of everything that's happening. No one's going to be able to keep abreast of all the changes, but that's not important. What is important is just to do whatever you decide to tackle to make sure you hyper-focus on that one piece and make sure that that's successful, then build out from there. So a lot of the questions I get are, where should we start? Like, what should we go on first? Should it be Twitter? Should it be Facebook? Should it be Delicious? Should it be Dig? Should it be X, Y, and Z, YouTube? That depends on what your business is. And so what you need to do is, and if you read Charlene Lee's book, The Groundswell, they also have a nice tool that'll show, you can put in information for your company and they'll show, hey, here's where most of your consumer base is. They are on YouTube or they're on MySpace or they're on Facebook, depending on what your industry is. But let's say that you're a dance studio, a small dance studio. Your first step might be, the best foray might be YouTube, to where you put up a couple videos that are showing how to tango or salsa, maybe 5-minute instructional videos that help increase your brand awareness and drive more traffic to your site. Or if you're another small business that really customer service is the most important piece and that's what you're struggling with and you want to reduce the cost of the calls that are coming in, then you might want to use a tool like Twitter, because on Twitter you can go in and go to search.twitter.com and you can put in your brand terms, your company name, and see what the chatter is happening in the space, and you can reply to those folks that are either A, having a problem, or B, really enjoy your product. And so it's a real cheap way to really increase your customer service. And not only that, it's completely enhanced customer service, because these are discussions that you never had insight into before. Because it would require someone to call in, but now if these people are out there tweeting about it and you do some of these search functionalities on Twitter, again, it's search.twitter.com, then you can see what's being said about your brand and product and actually take some action against it.
Right. Now, Eric, you've been working with a lot of large corporations for an extended period of time, helping them incorporate social media tools into their marketing outreach. What are some of the most valuable things that you've learned from them that small business owners on a budget can incorporate into their outreach?
I think the first thing is, just like we talked about earlier, is that understand that you're going to make mistakes. So it's important, especially on the small business side, it's even more important, because you got to keep this stuff light, a light investment from a standpoint of, let's get out there and figure out what we think is going to work, and it's probably not going to work the first time. But as long as you keep that light, then you collect all the information from your customer on how it needs to be adjusted, and then you adjust it from there. So that's a huge, huge, huge thing to keep in mind. The other piece is that don't try to do everything at once. Select the social media that you think has the best chance for success and walk before you run. So the way that works is you select, okay, I think that Twitter is going to be the best for me because I'm focused on customer service. And so get in there, and it's got the best chance for success. Then once you have success in that, then take the next step down the line. It might be that okay, how do we figure out how do we get a presence on Wikipedia? Or why don't we, if I'm a French cook, start using a tool like Delicious to where I can just sit there and figure out what are people bookmarking in terms of French food fair and figure out where those trends are going.
Right.
And so that's what I would suggest strongly is that don't try to boil the ocean. Figure out what's got the best chance for success. Take that step forward, and then if it doesn't work, then that's okay. Just adjust it accordingly and then keep going.
Is one of the ways we can figure out the best chance of success is to look at what our competitors are doing, see what they're using and what works for them, and kind of help that fact or those conclusions help us determine which might be the most successful for us?
Yeah, that's one thing you want to look at. The other thing you want to look at is that a lot of companies, whether they're small or large, sometimes say, well, I'm just not going to do this social thing. Well, the social media piece is going to happen with or without you. So the other thing is to look at how your customers are using it. Where are they? Where have they gone? And again, that's why I mentioned that tool that is from the groundswell. That's a great tool to utilize to figure out where they are. But is figuring out where they are, then also what are their pain points? What are they experiencing? And the irony is that's what I did for the social media revolution video. Is that I had the irony is I have to use social media to help sell the book. And so to develop this piece of content, which was put on YouTube, I was figuring out where do the pain points seem to be, and it was around a lot of people couldn't tell their boss and express appropriately why social media was a big thing, and so that's why I compiled all those stats and produced that four-minute video and put it out there is by listening first and then figuring out to develop something that would meet the customer's needs.
I like that. Don't boil the ocean because it's so tempting to do that, Eric, especially in our economy when everything seems to be moving so quickly, when we all feel like we have to hurry up and catch up, and that's sometimes the biggest mistake we can make, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, a lot of companies, these huge companies, don't have a presence on, even if you were to say the big five, right? They might have a presence on Facebook, and obviously MySpace has been getting beat up in the press, but they know that MySpace would give them a return, but they haven't even gotten to that piece yet because they're still trying to take all the proverbial low-hanging fruit from Facebook before they take that next step out and start expanding beyond that.
Eric, Danny in the chat room has a question. She says, there's lots of social media tools out there. When we're on different ones, do we talk about the same thing on each one? Do we just do a cut-and-paste job? How do we know what to put where, what's most appropriate to put where when we're dealing with four or five of them?
That is a great question. I mean, the audience differs, so you might have a different tone. Obviously, if you're on Twitter, you only have 140 characters, so that's going to limit how that text comes out, whereas if you're in some other tool like a Facebook, you can have a more elaborate conversation. But if you can, you always want to have the similar message and conversation from a standpoint of what's the end crux of it, but it's just going to vary based on the limitations of each of the tools. You have to be consistent, especially if you're a company. Just be as consistent as possible. And the thing that I love the most about social media is because of the transparency, you can't do some of the surreptitious stuff that companies have done in the past to where they're not really, it's not in the best of the customer's interest, because a lot of it was never found out, but now everything's wide open, and you have to be just consistent as possible. With the bigger companies, actually that's where it's great as a small company, because you have less folks answering the questions. The bigger companies, they wrestle with how to make sure it is consistent because of the volumes of questions and comments that are coming in. How do they have 15 customer reps be as consistent as possible?
That's a really good point. That's a huge advantage that small business owners have. And it's actually one of the many, right? Because when you're dealing with social media, Eric, you have to present a personality.
Yeah, exactly. You have to present a personality. And also you'll see the world's moving more to all these niche-focused plays because people want an expert to talk to. They want someone that's really ingrained in that industry. And so, one, you develop a personality. So it's more of a one-to-one type of relationship, and that's why you hear social networks and social communities, because it is that type of community feel, and as a business you can really jump on that and leverage it to where it's like, yes, this is our community, we really know what we're talking about, and we're really listening and we're reacting to what you have to say. 9 times out of 10, if someone negatively flames your product, if you reach out to them, all of a sudden they're whole mindset changes for that customer. They just wanted to be heard. And sometimes they're like, oh, well, I didn't want to be that harsh. I'm sorry. I just was frustrated at the time. And, yes, let's resolve that. And so, obviously, 1 out of 10 times you have that cantankerous soul that's just, for whatever reason, you can't get over that hurdle. But then you kind of have to move quickly beyond that person if it's not fixable.
Excellent points. It's all about those relationships. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to Eric Qualman, our guest today, and the author of Socialnomics, about the importance of those relationships and how social media helps us maintain them and also expand our sphere of influence. This is Indie Business Radio. I'm your host, Donna Maria. We'll be right back.
Want to stay on top of what's new in the radio industry? Sign up for a free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio, available exclusively to listeners of globaltalkradio.com, and find out what's new in the world of online radio. Listeners can find out about new shows and special guests. People with something special to offer can find out how to become a guest and how to prepare for an interview. And prospective hosts will find a valuable resource for everything from planning their new program to selecting topics and guests, recouping expenses by selling advertising, and more. Sign up today for your free subscription to the Future of Talk Radio by visiting www.globaltalkradio.com and learn about the future of talk radio today.
Welcome back to Indie Business Radio. We're having a fantastic show today with my guest, Eric Qualman, and the chat room is just alight with questions and people having conversations about how important social media is and how it can be used for their businesses. Eric, Lisa Stewart has a question. She wants to know, how do you get your Facebook fans at your Facebook page, your fan page, to start talking? It seems like a contest where you give something away is one of the only ways to get them involved. Do you have any other suggestions?
Yeah, the other suggestion is just provide them with a great piece of content, because it's all about this, what I call braggadocious behavior. How do you give them something? Because it's not about your company looking cool. It's about your customer looking cool. And so they've already become a fan, so they're engaged with your company. So how do you give them something that they can pass along that reflects well on them? And so what's interesting is that for my book, I put together this video that's called Social Media Revolution. It's on YouTube. It's got over 650,000 views at this point. It's 4 minutes, and what it supplies is just data about social media, why it's the biggest change since the Industrial Revolution. So that's something that virally took off. It cost $300, and we built it in a program called Adobe After Effects. And so it's very easy to kind of produce this content. Again, if it didn't take off, we were out $300, and so it was a very light investment. So that's why I always stress, keep it light. But anything that you can think of that you can give to someone that they can pass along that makes them look cool, go for it. Ben and Jerry's, for instance, got a lot of people talking. A lot of companies gave away stuff around the election, and so they gave away free ice cream, which they've done before. The difference is, in this instance, is that they messaged it only through social media. So from a hard cost standpoint, it was no cost because they weren't printing out brochures, they weren't printing out flyers, they weren't putting it on billboards. They were actually, the majority of it was just pushing it through social media. And so their fan base went from 200,000 to 300,000 in one day because of that marketing message. And so it gave them something to pass along to each individual. So anything you can think of that makes that person look cool, again, if it's your dance studio and you're doing those salsa lessons, if you can provide that to them and they can pass it along to their mother or father that's trying to learn how to dance, then that's the way you can get people to engage and keep talking.
Yeah, and it really does boil down to communicating with them about things that matter to them. And sometimes as small business owners, we think that's going to be our product or our service, and sometimes that's true, but that's not what generally starts the conversation, is it?
No, not at all. I mean, it could be anything, and it's just trying to figure out that core, that why are they engaged with you in the first place, and so how do you continue to strengthen that relationship and always be that person that supplies this piece of their life?
Yeah.
This is why they're engaged with you. Okay, so I'm the expert on this part of their life, so I want to make sure that I'm always a resource for them. And you can see that a lot for those in the audience that use Twitter and those that don't. When you send out a tweet, which, again, it's 140 characters or less, if you send that out, then a lot of people will take that and do what's called a retweet, so that people see it and say, wow, this is cool. This person sent this great article about X, Y, and Z, so I'm going to forward it on because, one, I want to push it to my friends because I think they'll think it's of interest, but also, two, it reflects well on me because I'm in the know about this said product, and so I'm pushing that forward. And so that's a great example in social media to where you can see a real-time effect of, okay, when I tweet about this, it seems that I get 100 retweets, whereas if I tweet about this, I only get 10. So I need to tweet more about this piece because that seems to strike a chord with my audience.
That's good advice. You pay attention to where people become engaged and then just do more of that.
Yeah, exactly. And it's interesting, too, if there's always good analogies you can always use for small business because let's say that you're a local politician that's running for X, Y, and Z. There's tools like Dig and Delicious, which Delicious is very easy to grasp. It essentially allows you to put all of your bookmarks in one repository so that if you switch computers, you don't have to worry about it. All these great articles, wherever you're saving on the web, are always in the central location. And you could put tags about what each article means. So you can say, this is about healthcare, or this is about taxes. And the beauty is that everyone else can kind of see who else is bookmarking stuff. And so if you are this local politician or local small business owner, you can see, okay, for whatever reason, there's thousands of people that are tagging articles about healthcare, where there's only 50 people tagging something about taxes, whatever is of interest at the local level, then you can utilize that data to know, as that politician or local businessman person, that this is what I need to kind of stress, because this is what's hot and what is now.
Right, and these are the terms that people are using. That's really such good advice. Janetta also has a question. It's a kind of a suggestion in response to Lisa's question about getting people chatting. She's interested in your thoughts on how to generate discussions and activity on a social network like a Ning-based network. Do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, I mean, I still use the same type of constructs. It's getting back to what are people really in that. And the first thing first is that there's Dale Carnegie and there's also David Ogilvy. For those of you who know them, they were two of the greatest marketers of the last century, where Dale Carnegie was more of a listener. He's the one that wrote the book, How to Win Friends and Influence People, where David Ogilvy still was a listener, but his cachet and his forte was really going out and messaging. He developed some great messaging. So in the here and now, the best thing to do is act more like Dale Carnegie. You need to listen first to what's going on in that conversation. And then from there, you can figure out, okay, the second piece I'm going to do is try to sell, whatever that is. So listen first and then sell second. And when you go in there to sell, it needs to be more of a softer sell than historically it probably ever has been. And then from there, you're just providing, as long as you're providing value as part of the conversation, then that conversation will continue.
Listen before interacting and interact before selling. Does that make some sense?
Perfect.
Wow. Okay, so there you go. There's no answer like that we can put in a box and package, right? Gosh, we so hate that, Eric. But really, I guess the beauty of that is, Eric, right, that once we find what works for us, then that further solidifies what you described earlier as the niche that you own.
Yeah, exactly. I will give two pieces of advice that I guess is really one, but the two major mistakes that people are really one major mistake just in two different tools is when people first as small companies or big companies get into Facebook or also Twitter, they get in there and they start just posting stuff about their company, just blasting and shouting, hey, here's what we're doing. And it's just like them talking. That's the quickest way to kill any type of social media piece. It's analogous to you going to the bar and meeting somebody and just going, hey, I'm Eric Qualman, this is why I'm great, X, Y, and Z. It doesn't work that way. It's a longer process on that standpoint. So that's a huge mistake that a lot of companies make. The other big mistake that they make is they try to fit old constructs onto social media, meaning that if you're engaged in Facebook and you've got, let's say, 5,000 fans, that you're going to try to get those folks right away into your database. Well, guess what? They might never, ever go into your database, but you can still message them on that platform. So that's that's a new paradigm for companies to get used to as well, is that, okay, this person might not be in my database, but I wouldn't have had anything. They wouldn't have ever been in my database, but at least now I have them on Facebook to where that I can message them at some point in time when it's relevant. And a good rule of thumb is that if you have to think about your message, whether it's, if you have to think, should we send this out or is it too salesy? Don't send it out. So that's a good way to start off from that standpoint, is just err on the side of being very conservative from a standpoint of, if you have to even think or question about it being too salesy, then don't send that piece out yet.
That's really good advice as well. So, and this idea of listening and then interacting and selling, I mean, this works no matter where you are, online or offline, essentially, doesn't it?
No, exactly. A lot of this stuff is, a lot of people will go like, oh, well, this isn't news. This is how it's always been. Just like it, you should always be listening to what the person wants and adjusting your product. But historically, you didn't necessarily have to do that, especially if you're a big company, because you had the marketing dollars, you had the distribution, and then you could overwhelm them with a less than spectacular product because you controlled all these other pieces. Well, because of technology, the barrier to entries are so low, and communication travels so fast that I can hear what's good and bad from my social graph. And I really care more about, when I say social graph, those are my friends that are connected to me through these social media tools, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, MySpace, is I can hear real time, okay, this is what they think about X, Y, and Z. And so it's less of an opaque world that you can see everything that's going on.
Right, right. Eric, I want your comments on something I see that frustrates a lot of small and independent business owners, and that is that when we've narrowed down, you know, which social media outlets we would like to communicate in, where our customers are, and so forth, sometimes I see people becoming a little bit frustrated when the audience does not want to deal with them in that particular media. Let me give you an example. I post a fantastic blog post. It's the blog post of all blog posts. And rather than leave a comment, someone just hits the reply key that subscribes by email and says, that was a great post, here's what I think about it, here's my thoughts, and they let it go at that. Or, in the alternative, you post it maybe on Facebook or someplace else, and instead of responding there, they prefer to deal with you privately. Can you give us some tips on how we should sort of handle those types of issues, or is there anything to be done at all?
Yeah, I think you can do stuff on that realm. I mean, obviously, that may be the way that person wants to engage with you, and you're never going to be able to change that. But also, too, it might be that I get this a lot, too, that someone will send me a note saying, I love the book, X, Y, and Z. And so the way that I approach it is I just say, hey, thank you so much for reading the book. Thanks for the great comments. If you feel compelled, feel free to share it on Amazon. So that, obviously, it's my best interest that they post these reviews on Amazon. But in that instance, what you mentioned, you could do the same thing. You just have to be careful with this. It's first, you start off with, obviously, thanks so much for your comments. Hey, did you know that you could actually leave this on this forum? Or I think this would be part of a great discussion. Can you please add it to the forum? It would really enhance the discussion. And 9 times out of 10, you're placating them because they're excited because, wow, you thought enough to reply back to them with, hey, this would really add to the discussion. Please put it in the open forum. And so that they're more compelled to do it as well. Plus, they're already probably a fan of yours if they're sending you positive information. Just be careful on how aggressive you are. Just kind of, it's like, hey, if you feel compelled, you know, add it to the conversation.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, because I find that a lot of people who do that just don't understand how it works, or, you know, maybe they want to comment at your blog, but they haven't set up their avatar yet, and they don't want to be the only one there with just, you know, the default gray head. There's so many reasons that can fit into that, but those are some really good suggestions. And as small business owners, you know, you kind of got to go with that flow, right? Because it's all about our customers and what makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. And fortunately, with a lot of these social media tools, those hurdles that you mentioned, whether you have an avatar, you need to set up your profile, are going more and more by the wayside because of tools which your audience might be familiar with, like a Facebook Connect or an OpenID, where you can just kind of log in using your Facebook ID. It'll pull all your information in. So it will pull in your photo. It will pull in some other pieces of information that you allow it, so that it's much easier to comment on various sites than it ever was before, because they used to have so many hurdles to where it's, I don't want to fill out all this profile information because I want to just post a two-sentence comment on this article that I enjoyed. And so the good news is some of the technology is starting to help enable and break down some of those hurdles, because as I mentioned on the Amazon side, I mean, you have to actually have purchased something on Amazon to post a comment on there. And so that's why tools like an application on Facebook, there's tons of applications on the iPhone and on Facebook that are starting to break down all these hurdles, so it's much easier to share your reviews on said product.
Eric, what are your thoughts on, let's talk about Twitter for a second. I see a lot of people join Twitter and they immediately put up as their avatar a picture of their product or their logo. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts is you want to have it be as warm and as engaging as possible. And so if you can have a picture of someone, that's always better. But, I mean, if you're a big company like JetBlue and Morgan's the person that originally started all their Twitter activity, but now you can see that it'll say Twitter John, Joe, Jim. They've got like six people working on it now because they get so many tweets into there for JetBlue, so they just have the logo up there. It's really case dependent, but if it's possible, if you only have one person that's handling that activity, it'd be great to have their photo up there. Obviously, there's some downside to that. If that person ever left the company, then they might feel that they've lost a little bit of that relationship. So it's always going to be dependent on your company. But if you can, it's obviously a huge bonus to have an actual picture of somebody and really feel like they have a relationship.
That's a good thing to think about, too, because, you know, and like you said, there's not going to be a rule for everyone, but I like your idea of, you know, taking a look at what it is you're trying to accomplish and how you have to really listen and engage before you start selling. And I guess putting a logo up there sort of comes right out of the box selling. That's what I did when I first set up my Twitter page. I put my logo up there, and I was like, oh, this is great, my logo. Doesn't it look so fabulous? And it took me about, you know, 2 minutes to realize, oh, bad move. Let me put my picture up there.
Yeah, and sometimes it's helpful just to take it from your own perspective where you go, what do I like when I'm on Twitter? Do I like, if there's a logo, am I going to click through that and see it enlarged? Probably not, but if it's a picture of a person, I'm going to click through and see where the person's from, and also there'll be a bigger picture of that small, tiny, tiny little picture that they have up there. It blows up when you click on it. So you can always take a real-time assessment of what do I like as an individual and go, oh, I like when there's a picture of somebody.
Right, right. And it makes it kind of easier to respond. If you're at a networking event, obviously people aren't walking around with a picture of their logo covering up their face. It's their faces and their smiles that really warm people up. That's a really good observation. Thank you for that. Eric, you know, this has been a fantastic show. I can't believe we're out of time, but we are. Eric, tell us, where do we go to get more of Eric Qualman and this fantastic book and information that you share?
Yeah, you can find all the information, and there's several articles on socialnomics.com. So if you just go to socialnomics.com, it'll have information on where you can get the book. It's at every major bookseller, and obviously you can order it online from all the major bookstores like Borders, Barnes & Noble, and Amazon. But also, if you go to that blog, socialnomics.com, you can keep abreast of where I am and also some of the newest articles that are posted on social media.
Right, and we can check you out at twitter.com/equalman, which I think is so great, because when I first saw that name, I was like, what a cool name. It's like a superhero for social media.
Yep, I can say that I'm not wearing tights and a cape, but, yeah, it's a good name to remember.
Well, that might be good. We'll look for that in your next video. I should hold my breath, right?
Fair enough. We're not going to have tights and a cape. There's a few things in life I'll guarantee, but I'll guarantee you that.
Thanks for joining us, Eric Qualman, the author of Socialnomics, How Social Media Transforms the Way We Live and Do Business. Next week, Monday, September 28th, Tom McKinney, author of Play the Game to Win, joins us to pass along insights he learned from his no-nonsense, take-no-prisoner single mom and his life in the military. He's overcome some hurdles, and he's going to tell us how we can do the same. That's next week right here, 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern on Indie Business Radio. Until then, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
You're listening to GlobalTalkRadio.com.